Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go!
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Merry Christmas, everyone! Happy holidays! It's a beautiful day to talk fantasy football. Wednesday, December 25th. We got Week 17 tough calls. We got some 2020 talk. We got your emails and your tweets. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com is the email address. I'm Adam Azer. I'm joined by Jamie Eisenberg, who's looking great today, but apparently we can't say the same about me. Isn't that right, Jamie?
You dressed like the Grim Reaper today.
I'm wearing a hooded sweatshirt. It's blue.
Well, it looked black on the screen that I saw you on. So yes, you look like you are not in the holiday spirit. I just want to say this is the first Wednesday show I think I might have done since the beginning of the season.
Oh, wow.
I don't even know if I did one to start the season, certainly since the preseason. So I got all my keywords ready to go.
Oh, what do we got?
I got Green Zone, Ronald Jones, Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, sure.
My projections. And...
Yeah, that's good. That's good, Jamie. Nice work. You are ready to go. What if I told you there's a running back who is averaging 3.5 yards per carry on a team that is scoring 12.7 points per game? Would you be interested in a running back like that?
3.5 yards per carry on a team scoring 12 points per game?
12.7 points per game.
For the season?
It's a 7-game stretch. But... yes, that's what we're dealing with. That's Leonard Fournette. In his last 7 games, he's averaging 3.54 yards per carry. The Jaguars are scoring 12.7 points per game. Can you believe that? That's terrible.
I can. Their team is bad. You know, it's funny, since I mentioned Gardner Minshew, we were talking on CBS Sports HQ yesterday about quarterbacks that you could stream this week if you're stuck, and Heath is just... will not let go of Gardner Minshew.
I know. I saw the rankings. I was like...
I can't understand it. Like, he loves that man.
He really does. And he hates Daniel Jones. Who does he have ranked ahead this week? Daniel Jones?
He likes Daniel Jones this week.
Okay, good.
I don't know if he has him ranked ahead of him, but I know he likes Daniel Jones.
All right. Well, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk a little bit about 2020. Chris Towers compiled a nice sort of year-end survey and 2020 look ahead with some sleepers, some breakouts, some busts, lessons learned, stuff like that. So we'll talk about a couple of those topics. We'll read your emails and your tweets. We'll get to the injuries, news, and notes, tell you who's starting and who's sitting this week. So let's talk about that survey, though, if you want to call it that. And I just picked two of the questions. I encourage everyone to go to the website, cbsports.com/fantasy/football, and check it out. But the lesson, it was funny, the lesson that you learned and the lesson that I learned were sort of the same and sort of completely different. Your lesson was don't draft a quarterback early, and mine was... quarterbacks matter with an exclamation point. So I think we can still sort of say the same thing, oddly enough. But you think, you know, based on this year, don't draft. We always say it. Don't draft a quarterback early.
It's just further evidence. You know, the thing that made me think of that was I made it to 6 finals. 5 of them were played this past weekend. And the only quarterbacks that I started with confidence in those 5 were Lamar Jackson and Jameis Winston. And those guys weren't drafted in the top 12.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other 3 were, and I chose poorly on a couple of them, but the debates I had were Ryan Tannehill, Phillip Rivers, and Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, those were the quarterbacks I was choosing from in my finals.
Yeah. And my one final was Rivers versus Tannehill. It was Rivers versus Fitzpatrick. Thankfully, I made the right decision.
So it just goes to show you that, look, Patrick Mahomes had a good year based on his per game numbers. He clearly wasn't the same guy, but he missed time due to injury, so you could throw him out. But Rodgers was bad. The third quarterback drafted, I don't remember off the top of my head.
Watson.
Huh?
Watson?
Watson's the only one that if you look at it from the top five based on average draft position, was good.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Again, not per game, but season numbers.
I agree with you that, you know, you wait on quarterback. The thing is, I'm going to take a more aggressive approach. It's just not going to be that early. You know, I'm probably not going to take Lamar Jackson because, like, I think the league will adjust enough. I think, you know, he can't be this good again, in my opinion. It's just the same exact way I felt about Patrick Mahomes. But I am going to invest earlier in quarterback, and I'm definitely going to draft two in most leagues because I do think it matters, and I do think you need to swing for the fences and go for the high upside guys. But just look at the top quarterbacks on a per-game basis this year in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. They were Lamar Jackson. This will blow your mind. Matthew Stafford is currently number two. Drew Brees, Mahomes, Watson, Wilson, Prescott, Winston, Tannehill, etc. So, I mean, I think we agreed not to take one too early, but when would you take Lamar Jackson?
When would I take him? I would take him in the same place where I was taking Mahomes, the back end of the second round, early part of the third. He's never going to get there.
Yeah, no, he's not.
Here's the average draft position for quarterbacks. You tell me good season, bad season. Patrick Mahomes.
Bad. Based on ADP, bad.
Deshaun Watson.
Good.
Aaron Rodgers.
Bad.
Matt Ryan.
It's an interesting one. It was good. I guess overall bad.
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, terrible.
Drew Brees.
Good, very good.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Brees, honestly, that's obviously on a per-game basis. He missed a ton of time. Roethlisberger, bad.
Jared Goff.
Ugh, don't even get me started.
Carson Wentz.
Yeah, bad.
Tom Brady.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Cam Newton.
Ugh.
Russell Wilson.
Very good, sort of.
Okay, now tell me how much you like this list. That's the top 12. Here's 13 through, I'll get 13 through 20. 13, Jameis Winston.
Yeah, great.
Lamar Jackson, 14.
Great, yeah.
Phillip Rivers.
Bad.
Kyler Murray.
Good at that ADP.
Dak Prescott.
Excellent.
Kirk Cousins.
You know, it paid off. You probably dropped him, though, unfortunately.
Well, if he got you to the playoffs, he worked out well. Jimmy Garoppolo.
Not so bad. Good. Yeah.
Mitchell Trubisky.
Bad.
And the last one, Josh Allen.
Yep. That's my guy next year. Very excited about him.
Would you like to hear what our top 10 quarterbacks are really quickly?
Yeah.
We've done that already. So what we're doing every day on CBS Sports HQ is we're doing our top 10s at each position. Adam's going to do wide receivers and then his overall top 20.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see where that is. Okay. So top 10 quarterbacks for me. Lamar Jackson 1, Patrick Mahomes 2, Watson 3, Wilson 4, Jameis 5, Dak 6, Kyler 7, Josh Allen 8, Matt Ryan 9, and Aaron Rodgers 10. Nothing that's going to be probably look the same when we get to August.
Yeah, the only one I don't like is Jameis.
For Dave, Mahomes 1, Lamar 2, Watson 3, Wilson 4, Ryan 5, Jameis 6, Dak 7, Wentz 8, Kyler 9, Drew Brees 10.
Hate Wentz.
It's bust. The one that stood out to me too.
Yeah,
for Dave.
Bust.
For Heath, Mahomes 1, Lamar 2, Watson 3, Wilson 4, Dak 5, Jameis 6, Kyler 7, Josh Allen 8, Aaron Rodgers 9, Matt Ryan 10. Now, Heath did say on the show when we were talking about it, because I asked who's the biggest bust, and we were talking about Ryan Tannehill, and he actually said he wonders how people will approach Rodgers versus Tannehill, depending on how this game goes in the postseason, if they'll still take Rodgers over Tannehill.
What's up with nobody ever likes Drew Brees, you know?
I think it's just the fact that he's getting older. You know, it's always going to be something I think that you're waiting for the drop-off. And then here's Ben Gretches. Lamar Jackson 1, Mahomes 2, Watson 3, Wilson 4. We all have the same top 4. Ben's got Kyler Murray 5. He made Ronald Jones a quarterback, put him 6. Dak is 6. Josh Allen 7. Jameis 8. Rodgers 9. Ryan 10.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that. I don't really like Jameis. I just think the way he plays is just not sustainable. And, you know, like, he's just... He could get benched. Overcoming all these turnovers, having no running game.
If they pay him, he's not getting benched.
I suppose, but I just...
And if he didn't get benched this season, why would he get benched next year?
Very unusual for a player to be able to do what he's doing. Be so bad and so good at the same time. And, opinions are going to change so much from now to then. The other thing from the survey I wanted to get to was your 2020 breakout. For you, it was Kenyon Drake if he stays with the Cardinals.
So I took two different approaches with this because I changed it for our HQ show. To me, Kenyon Drake feels like the Dalvin Cook type breakout. You know, so a guy that you know is going to get drafted in the first few rounds but can exceed the expectations. So if he stays with the Cardinals, it's going to go from this small sample size to monster.
Yeah. Oh, right. It could be great. And it's just another example of Adam Gase being terrible offensively. Ryan Tannehill, Devontae Parker, Kenyon Drake. Who am I missing here?
Of that caliber guys that have gone on elsewhere?
Just guys that are playing really well. And
I mean, Peyton Manning's retirement has been pretty good since he left.
And
Gase
didn't do well under Adam Gase in Miami. You know, he's just awful. I know
Gesicki.
Gesicki, yeah. I think there's just one more I feel like I'm forgetting.
Landry.
Landry, yeah, right. So not that he was bad under Gase, but maybe.
No, I mean, some people probably argue he's better, but.
Yeah, maybe that wasn't the one. But it's just so much evidence. Like, just get away from Adam Gase. He'll be better. My breakout, I couldn't decide which rookie wide receiver. I was a big DK Metcalf fan this draft season, so I'll just stick with him. Very unique player. Size, speed, got handled by Patrick Peterson last week, so he's obviously got a lot to learn. But he's averaging 15.8 yards per catch. That's great. I think he will continue to sort of emerge as the number one guy there. We like Russell Wilson as a top five quarterback, so you got to like his number one receiver. Same way we like Doug Baldwin every year and Tyler Lockett. I think Metcalf's got better production to come. And I, you know, but it could be anyone. I mean, McLaurin's going to go ahead of him, and Debo looks really, really good. It's a great, just so much young talent this year. I love
it. The three young guys for me that I think have the chance to take a leap. Metcalf certainly is in that conversation, but it's, Debo and the two rookie tight ends. I think you see Hockenson and Fant and what the hope can be. I believe Marvin Jones can be gone from Detroit, whether they release him or he's a free agent, I'm not sure. I looked yesterday, but I don't remember what it was. And Amendola, I think, is on a one-year deal. So if Hockenson and Galladay are the two top targets for Stafford, I think he could be really good. And then Noah Fant, you know, just has so much potential.
Yeah. Be interested to see where Galladay goes next year because he's had a really good year, but with Stafford, you know, very, very solid.
He hasn't been bad with Blau, though.
He hasn't, but he hasn't done it in, like, this sustainable way where we're going to be excited about it. But, yeah, I was thinking about him as a breakout because I feel like he could be a true stud, like a first-round caliber
pick. Receivers and touchdowns.
I know, that's the thing. Like I think he's had too good of a year, but I don't know that he'll get that respect. But we'll see.
No, he's going to be a third-round pick.
Right. All right, injuries, news, and notes. Zach Ertz is questionable with a fractured rib, so pick up Dallas Goedert, Greg Ward. They should get more targets, but Ertz still might play. The reason I don't like Wentz, by the way, next year is I just think he's throwing too much, and I've kind of made I've alluded to this, like, I just think that Miles Sanders is going to become the focal point of the offense more.
Got
so.
It, so.
I love him. Marquise Pouncey is out with a knee injury. That's Pittsburgh's awesome center, so less reason to like their running game this week. Buffalo is going to play a majority of their players, according to Sean McDermott. So what do you make of that, and do we know anything else? Houston says they're playing. Buffalo says they're playing right now.
So Buffalo's a weird one because he said they're going to play the majority of their players, but that could be a series. So he didn't say how long they're going to be out there, and he did say other guys would play. When he was pressed on it about Matt Barkley, he said, yes, I'll play. So my guess is maybe a half, maybe a quarter, maybe a series. I'm avoiding the Bills guys if I can. And, you know, if you want a sneaky guy, we talked a little bit about Frank Gore, but also TJ Yeldon. We left him out on Tuesday show. So Yeldon and Frank Gore, two guys that come into play this week, especially if they decide to pull Gore off the field too.
Seattle's going to lean on Travis Homer, according to Pete Carroll. What's your interest level in Travis Homer Sunday night against the Niners?
Yeah, I mean, for the DFS showdown more so than anything else on FanDuel. I don't think I'm, you know, you mentioned this on Tuesday's show. If you've gotten to this point in week 17, there aren't many people that are using these guys. You know, so if you maybe snuck by and you had to play Mike Boone last week, then I would pivot from Mike Boone to Travis Homer, but better in PPR than non-PPR, as we saw the six catches on eight targets and not a full game's worth of work, you know, that could probably be sustainable at that level.
Josh Jacobs participated in a walkthrough. We're going to have to check on that one. Derrick Henry practiced. Terry McLaurin's in the concussion protocol, so Steven Sims could get more work if McLaurin's out.
Yep.
Jalen Ramsey is out this week. Not that you're going to necessarily trust Christian Kirk or Larry Fitzgerald, but Ramsey's out. Philadelphia cornerback Ronald Darby is on IR with a hip flexor injury. That is their top corner. So more good news for Daniel Jones. Tennessee cornerback Adoree Jackson practiced, and J.J. Watt practiced. He won't play this week, but he plans to play in the postseason. J.J. Watt,
so
that'd be
one,
fun.
One thing with the Texans, which is weird how the NFL did it. So they are still alive technically for the three seed, which as we know in the AFC could be big because you avoid Buffalo and you could potentially play either the Titans or the Steelers or the Raiders if they get in. Obviously, you'd rather play the latter two than the Titans at this point. But the Chiefs play at 1 o'clock. So if the Chiefs win, the Texans essentially have nothing to play for at four.
That is interesting.
It's weird that they didn't make it the same time.
Yeah. We're sure about this? Like, I just want to double check because that is.
No, I had to double check myself. Yep. Heath brought it up on the show yesterday. And so, I mean, it obviously has to do with the Titans, the Steelers, and the Raiders.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why they wouldn't put that Chiefs Chargers game at four. There's. Well, because New England is at 1, too. Yep. 1 o'clock also with the Chiefs.
So, okay. I mean, look, most likely the Chiefs are going to be the Chargers anyway, so it's probably a moot point. But most likely the you're going to see the Texans, barring a Chargers win, pull all their guys early in the game if they play at all. The key guys.
All right, if you want a T-shirt, get yourself a free FFT T-shirt. On our Facebook page, Fantasy Football Today on Facebook, the giveaway this week, the player you will not draft in 2020. Player you will not draft in 2020. Tell us who it is. Tell us why. And playoff pick 'em. It's almost time for the playoffs. CBS Sports has a new way for you to up the action. Playoff pick 'em. Whether you want to pick the games for cash or compete against friends, we have you covered with two easy ways to play. First, you can enter the playoff challenge for your chance to win $5,000. All you need to do is pick the winners, and the champ walks away with a big $5,000 in cash. Second, you can get your friends, your family, your coworkers, or anybody that loves football involved by creating a fully customizable private pool. That's pretty cool. I'm going to do that, by the way. So the playoff pick 'em, it's totally free. Go to cbssports.com/playoff or download the CBS Sports app now and start your pool and play for $5,000. cbssports.com/playoff or download the app. Email of the day comes from Adam in Vancouver, Canada. Dear, some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath, and Ben. Going into Monday night, I needed 41 points from Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones to take the title. The 56-yard Jones touchdown run clinched it for me and a miracle championship win. As a thank you for a season long of fantasy advice and in recognition of your work with St. Jude's Children's Hospital, I will be donating a portion of my winnings to my local children's hospital. Wishing you all a happy holiday season.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. We appreciate that. On a personal note, we have a colleague of ours. I'm not going to mention his name, but his son is just recently found out that he was diagnosed with cancer. So the work that, you know, St. Jude's does and hospitals of the like, you know, even come to a little bit more of the forefront for us. And so, I'm excited that we have that partnership, and I appreciate, you know, everybody who does, you know, things like this with their fantasy winnings, because look, it's obviously, you know, we all need money, and when you win something like this, it's cool. But if you get a chance to give back, you know, you get that karma coming your way year in, year out. So we appreciate, you know, things like this and all of you that donate any of your fantasy winnings to any sort of charity.
Yeah. Thank you again to Adam in Vancouver and all of you who are going to be doing that. It's much appreciated. And of course, next year we'll be, you know, doing this all again and hopefully have some charitable stuff that you can contribute to. All right, let's get some Week 17 tough calls. How about Matt Ryan at Tampa Bay? Well, you know, Tampa Bay, they're getting better against quarterbacks.
They really are. You know, and it's funny because I know you're poo-pooing Jameis a little bit, and I get it. But they're one of those teams that could be the team that makes the jump next year to becoming a playoff contender. I mean, the fact that they may finish 500 is impressive in itself, just given how the year started. The defense has turned the corner in a big, big way. You've been mentioning this time and time again, and it's paid off in terms of, you know, how they've done against some opposing passing games of late. But I just think Ryan's got this game just feels like it's, you know, throw everything out and they're just going to, you know, put up points both sides. So I think Ryan's still worth starting. I'm not going to get away from him.
Okay. The last five quarterbacks against Tampa Bay, Matt Ryan himself struggled. The Atlanta quarterbacks combined for 14 points. Jacksonville quarterbacks, 8 points. Brissett, 26 points. That was the good one. David Blough, 7. And then Deshaun Watson, only 8 fantasy points. And really, the young cornerbacks. They have two or three young corners that are playing very well. So it's a secondary to watch. All right, so you're going to start Matt Ryan. Are you going to start Jameis Winston against Atlanta? We've seen him one game without Godwin and Evans, and he scored 12 points with four interceptions.
Yeah, and he's been so turnover prone at home, you know, which is just unbelievable. He cannot get out of his own way. His track record against Atlanta is unbelievable. In just his last five games against Atlanta alone, he has not thrown for fewer than 261 yards. He has not thrown for less than three touchdowns. He just eats them up.
Wow.
And so, you know, this is another defense that's been playing much better, but I'm just going to go against what the trends have been lately and start both these guys.
The Falcons have allowed seven touchdown passes in their last seven games, and Jameis Winston threw three of them. So they've been really good against everybody not named Jameis Winston, basically, lately anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Baker Mayfield. I know it's been a struggle for him this year, but he's usually done pretty well in good matchups. Cincinnati's a good matchup. Now, he struggled in the first meeting. He scored 10 fantasy points. He completed 11 of... He was terrible. 11 of 24, 192 yards, two picks. The Bengals had the ball in that game for 34 minutes and 31 seconds, so Cleveland's stats just weren't very good. But can we go to Baker Mayfield? Because, look, like he was good enough at Arizona, 20 points. Scored 29 points against the Dolphins. Can we go back to Baker Mayfield at Cincinnati?
I mean, you can. It's probably more of a two-quarterback thing than a one-quarterback thing. He's not ranked in my top 12. He's just outside of it. I think he's right around 15. It's just I'd rather start Daniel Jones. You know, like that's just kind of where I am with Baker.
How about Tom Brady against the Dolphins?
He's the start of the week.
Oh!
I think, you know, part of it is I just wanted to put him in that spot because who knows when he'll ever be there again. It's one of the meaningful games for this week. He's got a great track record against the Dolphins. The Dolphins obviously stink. And so I think this is one of those games where Brady can go out with a big performance. So I'll count on him against Miami's defense.
All right. Yeah, the Dolphins give up the most fantasy points to quarterbacks. Would you start him over Wilson or Ryan? Or, sorry, Winston or Ryan?
I have him, Winston, Ryan, Brady, back to back to back.
Did you catch, by any chance, the amount of times Rich Eisen called Winston Watson and Watson Winston?
I mean, you can't sit on Twitter and not see that.
Oh, really?
Because I comment about it. See, yes, I heard it and saw it.
I didn't see the first half of that game until the day after. Like DVR, I had a DVR the first half. So I'm watching the game, and I'm saying to my wife, like, this guy keeps butchering the day. He keeps screwing it up. And then at one point, he actually acknowledged it. He said, if you're playing a drinking game, for the amount of times I have called, because then he had Justin Watson too. He's like, if you're playing a drinking game, for the amount of times I've screwed up those names, he's like, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. It was very funny. Russell Wilson against the Niners. So we are talking about Russell Wilson in his last nine games. He is completing 62.4% of his passes, which is bad for him. 7.83 yards per attempt, which is low for him. 15 touchdowns to five picks in his last nine games. Only 15 touchdowns. And he's only scored more than 20 points twice in those nine games. So start or sit Wilson against the Niners?
I would still start him. He makes me a little nervous because the offensive line now with Dwayne Brown being hurt against this pass rush. But if there's any chance for Seattle to win this game, it is totally on him now because of what the running back situation
right.
looks like. It's just they're so beat up. So without Carson, without Penny, without ProSize, you know, I mean, you know the story by now, bringing in Marshawn Lynch and Robert Turbin. They're just, if you're not going to all of a sudden say, okay, you've been an MVP candidate for, let's just say 12 weeks of the season. He was, you know, in that conversation with Lamar Jackson, you could say maybe more, but, he's their best player. It, you know, goes without question that he's their best player. And so, let him go win you the division if you're going to have anybody win you the division. Don't say we're going to run Marshawn Lynch 15 times and hope that we can just run our offense. This is his time to be the guy, and he's been better at that more times than not when he's put in that spot.
You look forward to a game where he might throw 40 passes. He's done that three times this year. He scored 45 points against the Saints on 50 passes. He scored 15 fantasy points against the Ravens on 41 passes, and then he scored 49 fantasy points against the Bucks on 43 pass attempts. So you look forward to it. Now, then again, he threw 36 passes against the Rams, and he scored 9 points. But, you know, volume should be there. You just don't figure they'd be able to run the ball well. We'll go look at some running backs in a moment. Let's talk about SeatGeek, all right? Because, like, Jamie has this golden opportunity to go see his precious Florida Gators play in the Orange Bowl. And I found some good seats, man. I found some good prices for them on SeatGeek. Because Jamie was saying, oh, yeah, I looked at tickets and like $100. And then we looked at the SeatGeek app and guess what? Like $80. So check it out. SeatGeek's just got better prices. And you can save $10 off your first purchase with the promo code FFT. Download the SeatGeek app. Use the code FFT. Get $10 off your first purchase. Now, every purchase is fully guaranteed. You can go to football games, basketball games, baseball, sports, concerts, comedy, theater. They bring in tickets from all over the web. They grade every ticket based on value, and then they rank them by deal score so you can see the best values, the best bang for your buck, or you can sort by price if you'd like. Download the SeatGeek app. Use the code FFT. It's an awesome app. You're going to love it. Over 50,000 five-star reviews. FFT is the code for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. If Tom Brady is your start of the week, how do you feel about Sony Michel, who, by the way, he's facing the Dolphins, obviously, at home. He has had 19 carries and 21 carries in his last two games against the Bengals and the Bills. He hasn't scored in 8 straight games. And even though Sony Michel is 10th in the NFL in red zone carries, 8th inside the 10, 10th most carries inside the 5, in his last 8 games in which he hasn't scored, he has one carry inside the 5-yard line. And he has another one from the 5. So 2 carries in his last 8 games from 5 yards out or closer. Sometimes it's Burkhead. Sometimes it's Bolden. Sometimes it's White. Start or sit, Sony Michel.
Yeah, I'm excited about his green zone work this week. I think he's going to be one of those green zone guys that has a green zone opportunity to get into the green zone and find the green.
Where are you projecting him for?
What am I projecting for? Well, I got him for 19.2 carries, 85.6 yards, and 0.6 of a touchdown.
Yes, exactly.
I think this is going to be a good game for him. You know, this is one where it feels as if the Patriots offense, which has been getting better, you know, I mean, I know it hasn't been great, but, you know, the lack of weapons, offensive line through skill position have been bad for Tom Brady. But this is just such a bad defense. I mean, the last thing the Dolphins want to do is get on a plane at the end of the season and go into the cold. You know, these players are done. you know, so it's for a lot of these teams that have to travel, you know, especially into cold weather situations from warm weather scenarios. I just think that this is the, you know, Patriots are playing for the 2 seed. You know, they need to win this game. The offense should continue to build momentum going into the playoffs. So Michel is a borderline starter. You know, he's clearly better in non-PPR than PPR. He's a great FanDuel play because he's not going to be expensive. So, you know, this is the type of scenario where you, if you've had Michel on your bench, you can feel comfortable starting him.
Travis Homer or Michel?
I would go with Michel, definitely in non-PPR. I think I have still Michel ranked ahead of him in PPR as well.
How about Devontae Freeman against the Bucks or Sony Michel?
Michel, definitely in non-PPR. I still go Freeman over Michel in PPR.
All right, next running back, Damian Williams against the Chargers. We know the Chargers' run defense has been very good in their last 7 or 8 games. Try to find the number lately. Last 7 games, 3.54 yards per carry running backs are averaging against the Chargers. That doesn't mean you can't be good. We've seen DeAndre Washington last week. We saw Mike Boone the week before score twice, but it's not easy. Damian Williams against the Chargers.
I think he's a great start. You know, you're talking about, as we saw last week, 20 total touches. I think that's going to be the case again. So I would start him.
How about Le'Veon Bell at Buffalo? He's got 21 and 25 carries in his last 2 games. Bills' run defense is not great, and they have nothing to play for. Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I think he's a starter. I still have him ranked, you know, closer to 24 than I do inside my top 20. But, you know, I think, again, it's a good setup for him. So hopefully he gets that work and goes into the offseason with a strong game.
So you'd start Damian Williams over Le'Veon Bell?
I would start Damian Williams over Bell. I would start Michel over Bell in non-PPR.
Michel, my Bell. Very nice. Good Beatles reference there, Jamie. What about Devin Singletary or Bell?
Oh, I'm not starting Devin Singletary.
Okay. Leonard Fournette. Here we go. Leonard Fournette against the Colts. The Colts do not give up big games to running backs. I mean, McCaffrey had a big game. So basically, in their last like 12 or 13 games, there have been 3 running backs who have big games. Jalen Samuels, because he had 13 catches. Derrick Henry, because he's Derrick Henry. And Christian McCaffrey last week. But McCaffrey only rushed for 54 yards. So Fournette against the Colts, start or sit?
I would start Fournette against the Colts. Just, you know, he got over 100 total yards last week. hopefully he finds the end zone. I mean, he's going to be one of the more polarizing guys next year because he's going to be drafted in the first two rounds. He could be one of those league winners if he's, you know, does this again and gets you 10 plus touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right now he's the victim of a very bad offense, and he's not getting the goal line touch. They're just not getting there. Dave outlined that beautifully last week. Always safer in PPR. You know, he's basically a lock for three catches, could get you five, could get you seven, you never know.
His floor is very safe.
In PPR it is, but not in non-PPR, because in non-PPR, I'll give you this number, it'll blow your mind. He's been 28th or worse in non-PPR in five of his last seven games. He's been 20th or worse in six of his last seven games. And to be honest with you, even in PPR, he's been 19th or worse in five of his last seven games. He's always the number two. He's basically always at least the number two running back in PPR. But he's only been top 12 twice in his last seven games. This team's terrible. 12.7 points per game in their last seven. It's awful. All right, here we go. Last tough call at running back. Miles Sanders. Jordan Howard's back.
I'm not getting away from him. If the Eagles get away from him, they're dumb.
I know.
Mean, look, give Jordan Howard some work. I get it. Take some of the work off Miles Sanders, especially this week. If you're guaranteeing yourself to beat the Giants and get into the playoffs, they obviously can't do that. But, you know, if the game seems in hand, then Jordan Howard should be on the field and getting a lot of work. But let Miles Sanders do the work to get you there. And the biggest question, I think, is with Howard back, what happens to Boston Scott? Does Boston Scott stay in this pass-catching role and they don't use Sanders in third-down opportunities if Howard's on the field first and second down on certain drives? You know, so that's, I think, where the whole chess match comes in and how the Eagles are going to mix and match their backs.
I think it's interesting. In non-PPR, you have Sanders one spot behind Fournette, and in PPR, you have him four spots behind Fournette. I don't think that would be the case if Jordan Howard were not playing.
No.
So there is a little bit of a downgrade.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, you have to downgrade because we don't know.
Yeah. Now, he's their most dynamic player, and like, they don't have anyone to throw to, so Jordan Howard really just shouldn't play much. He should get, like, seven carries.
That's a lot.
Yeah, he should get, like, four, but I think he'll get more than that. All right, wide receivers. Tough calls. I put Darius Slayton here, but it really could be any Giants wide receiver against the Eagles. What do you think?
I went right back to Golden Tate as the top guy because it seems to be that's who Daniel Jones favors.
You think so? I can't tell.
I mean, well, obviously, yeah, we can't tell. It's a good point.
There's only been two games where all three wide receivers have played.
Right. One with Eli.
Oh, sorry. There's only been two games where all three wide receivers have played with Daniel Jones. That's what I meant to say. Or have there been three? I guess there have been three. All right, so here you go. Darius Slayton in three games with Daniel Jones, Sterling Shepard, and Golden Tate. He had 62 yards and a touchdown against the Vikings. He had four catches for 67 yards at Chicago, and he had no catches last week on two targets with a knee injury. What'd you say?
Wasn't he banged up last
week? Yeah, he had a knee injury. So you think Tate is the guy?
I don't know, but that's kind of the approach I'm taking is that Tate's the guy.
Yeah, because 2-3 weeks ago, Slayton had five catches, 154 yards, and two touchdowns against the Eagles. That was with Eli Manning. And I don't remember if Sterling Shepard played in that game.
I don't believe he did.
Okay. Debo Samuel and Tyler Lockett. Tough calls because Lockett's actually been getting the targets lately. Samuel has not been getting the targets lately, but he's getting you some rushing yards. He's got 20 or more rushing yards in three of his last four games. He's scoring touchdowns. I mean, like, this is a guy, targets in his last five games, 2, 4, 8, 3, 6. You're going to really trust Debo Samuel? I don't know. How about Tyler Lockett and Debo Samuel? Do you trust them this week?
Trust? No, but I'll still play them both as number two receivers. I do feel like Samuel's a little bit safer than Lockett just because of the validity of what Lockett does. He could be fantastic, or as we saw last week, he could be terrible. You know, so I think they're both in the same range, 18 through 24. You know, the ceiling clearly favors Lockett, but I think the floor favors Samuel at this point.
Okay. I mean, it's amazing that Lockett had seven targets last week. He only caught one of them. That's just unusual. Niners giving up the sixth fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. And here's the thing. Maybe this is the Seattle stat. For Debo Samuel, right? If you're facing Seattle and you get more than seven targets, you usually do really well. 15 of 20 wide receivers with seven or more targets have scored 13 or more PPR fantasy points. If you don't have seven targets, you're usually terrible. There have been two wide receivers with fewer than seven targets that have had either 55 yards or a touchdown against the Seahawks. Kind of interesting. Two more. DJ Chark against the Colts. He crushed the Colts just a few weeks ago. Eight catches, 104 yards, two touchdowns on 15 targets. He has not had a good game with single-digit targets since week three. Starter sit DJ Chark.
I think he's a good number three receiver. It's just, you know, how healthy is he? You know, he had that game with Nick Foles, not with Gardner Minshew. That was week 11. That was the first start for Foles after the London game. So, you know, I just don't know where Gardner Minshew's at right now and how much you can trust him.
And finally, Odell Beckham at Cincinnati.
Same type of situation, you know, health at this point. You know, where is he? The fact that he was yelling at Freddie Kitchens on the sideline this past weekend. If I'm playing at this point, I don't know if I want to trust him. So if he's been in my lineup every week, I'll still start him. But number three receiver.
Chark or Beckham?
Chark.
All right, emails and tweets to finish the show. Adrian says, start two of these. Parker, Perryman, McLaurin.
Perryman and McLaurin. I don't want to start Devontae Parker this week if I don't have to.
Oh, man, what a bummer. He's been so good, but Patriots, yeah, that's a tough one. Zach Stewart says, where's Joe Mixon going to be ranked in 2020?
So that was one of Heath's Believe It or Not, and it's funny. He's done two of these the last 2 weeks, and I had to call him out on it because he kind of took the easy way out. He said, believe it or not, Joe Mixon will not be a top 20 pick. So I said, okay, so what if he's top 24 in the second round? Yeah, I'll kind of be in that range. Well, okay.
It's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah, like back end of the second round.
Right. So he's going to be, I think, kind of where he was based on ADP, you know, somewhere between 18 and 24. It depends on if your league goes heavy on running backs. He's a top 10 running back for me. I think, you know, the fact that he was able to perform at the level that he did this season, given the offensive line as a disaster that it was, the quarterback position a disaster that it was, even if it's Joe Burrow going through the rookie motions, the offensive line will be better just by Jonah Williams being healthy. He was their first round pick that didn't play because of the shoulder injury. So I think there's a lot to like about Joe Mixon. The other one that Heath did was he said, Tyler Higbee will not be a top six tight end next year. Okay. Will he be top 10? So, and he said, yeah, kind of in that range. Like, well, you haven't ranked in your top 10 in your 2020 previews. So, yeah, I think Mixon's a second round pick.
From Lights Out, who will be better in 2020? Jackson, Mahomes, or other?
Well, you mean Lamar?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're giving me the field, I'll take the field.
Same. I'd take Lamar Jackson over Mahomes, though. What about you?
It's going to be an interesting one. I was the only one of the three of us. Ben also had Lamar Jackson. So, you know, of the four of us who gave me their quarterback rankings for 2020, both Heath and Dave took Mahomes over Jackson.
And you had what?
I have Lamar.
Lamar, yeah. From.
But give me the chance to take the field. I'll take the field.
Yeah. From Logan Adam Schultz. We're keeping one player on our team for next year. Any tips on how to decide which player to keep?
In terms of the rules or in terms of your own team?
I think in terms of your own team, and I guess it's like, do you care more about studliness or value? And if you're going to take a stud, you know, how far can you, do you take a stud for a first round pick? Do you keep Christian McCaffrey in the first round? Or do you keep Miles Sanders in the seventh round?
I guess it depends on if that's the way you do it. Like, I have a 10-team league. It's my oldest league, you know, so I think we're right around 20 years, if not over it, or right near it. And we only keep one player, but it doesn't matter where they're drafted. So it's just, you know, you have that player on your team. So, like, for me, it's I've prior to this past year, Antonio Brown was my keeper for, like, 5 years. And now I have Michael Thomas for the last 2 years. So I'm just keeping best player. If it's a value-based scenario of you're losing your draft pick, then that's clearly a big part of this. So, you know, if you have trying to think of somebody who was drafted middle to late, like if you took Lamar Jackson late, you're going to clearly try and favor him over, let's say, Joe Mixon in the third round, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Or second round, you know, so those type of things absolutely matter.
If you're only keeping one player, you know, it has to be a great player, you know, so you don't want to keep like DK Metcalf in the last round.
Right, but I think it comes down to, let's say you have, I'm trying to think. So let's say it's like you have Tyreek Hill. Let's say you drafted him in the second round, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe first round, depending on when you had your draft. Maybe he's not the best example.
Maybe you could actually, you probably drafted him in like the sixth round.
Potentially. I'm just trying to think of somebody who, Keenan Allen in the second round, right? He didn't have a great year, and you don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be. So Keenan Allen may be your best player, but you have DK Metcalf in round 10.
Oh, yeah, right, right. No, but I'm saying if you have a, whatever, I think we were going around in circles here. Let's go to our next, let's finish up here. This is from Novell. Should I start Baker Mayfield or Andy Dalton this week?
Have them back to back. I think there's more upside with Baker. Look at the injury report. If Tyler Boyd's out, then it's easy to go Baker. But, you know, Andy Dalton was great against the Dolphins. Otherwise, he's been pretty bad.
From Marquise, PPR League, pick one. Winston, Goff, or Fitzpatrick?
To play this week, Winston.
Pick two running backs. Sony Michel, DeAndre Washington, and Eckler.
So if Washington starts, he'd be my favorite guy. Otherwise, you play the other two, if Jacobs plays.
Yeah, but if Washington, if you're playing Washington, are you going Eckler or Michel, PPR?
I mean, Eckler, that's easy. Eckler's the safest of the group, but right. I guess I'll take it back. Eckler's my favorite of the group. If Washington plays, you play him. If Jacobs plays, you play Washington. If Jacobs is out, you play Michel.
You said that the opposite. If Jacobs plays, you play Michel. If Jacobs is out, you play Washington.
Sorry.
Pick three wide receivers in PPR. Metcalf, Thielen, John Brown, Cooper Kupp.
Metcalf, Brown. No, Metcalf, Kupp.
Yeah, it comes down to Thielen or Brown to start and sit here. He's like, I have no faith in Thielen right now.
I mean, there's got to be somebody in the waiver wire. Steve Sims has got to be available. Justin
Greg
Watson.
Greg Ward, baby. Greg Ward. Justin Watson,
you know,
first.
Don't just settle with – if you. I guess it's a dynasty or keeper league. You're dropping Thielen or you're dropping Brown and go pick up one of those guys.
Yeah, don't drop them in dynasty or keeper leagues.
Of course not.
All right, Merry Christmas. Have a great, great day, everybody. We'll come back tomorrow with Ben Gretsch and Heath Cummings for starter sit for the AFC home games. Jamie will rejoin us on Friday for the NFC home games. We also have our radio show on Saturday night where you can call in. We'll do a mock first-round draft. Call in. Tell us who you like in the first round. Tell us your sleepers, your breakouts, your busts, whatever it is. Anyway, hope you all have a wonderful holiday, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
We're still live on CBS Sports HQ all week, too, at noon, even on Christmas. I'll be there.
All right, Jamie. Thanks for hopping on. Talk to you on Friday.
Gotta go, bye.
Original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.